of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and I have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. I believe in church, shall I believe in amen? Life's vision and destiny. I want to begin this morning to establish unequivocally that living without knowing your life vision leads to unfulfilled life and unrealized destiny. Living life without knowing your life's vision leads to unfulfilled life, meaning your life will not be fulfilled. Fulfillment in life is not tied to material things. Fulfillment in life is tied to destiny fulfilled. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Now what is left for me is the crown of glory. That is a statement of a man who understood his life vision and who lived to the fullness of it and who accomplished destiny by virtue of running and living life as it relates to his life vision. So life without knowing your life vision leads to unfulfilled living and unrealized destiny. But far be it from you that you're going to walk this earth for 68 years, 98 years, 100 and something years. And your statement is like that of Methuselah. He lived 998 years and he died. That's a very heartbreaking statement. You live almost 1,000 years and there is nothing recorded that you did. There is no vision that you accomplished. There is no purpose that you fulfilled. But I've come to challenge you this morning that you have a life vision. And you need to understand what it is. Hallelujah. You got to understand it. Because when you fail to understand it, as we're going to see, it is not only you who fell, but a generation is going to fail with you. It's not only you who fell. Destinies that are tied to you are going to fail. Because each one of us here are empowered by God through salvation to become life changers. We're empowered by God to bring about in our communities such a change that only us, through God, can fulfill. Hallelujah. So living without knowing your life purpose will lead you to living a life that is unfulfilled and a destiny that is unrealized. I want to establish, number two, that your life has a God-ordained and God-given vision. Your life has a God-ordained and a God-given vision. Vision is of God. A revelational understanding and insight into the reason of my existence is of God. Every great philosopher that have existed left with a quest or began a quest of understanding the reason of existence, the why of existence. But in Christ Jesus, we have come to the place of knowing the why of our existence. We have come to the place where we should understand that there is more to my life than what I can even articulate it to be. Your life's vision is central to the realization of your destiny. Your destiny is your ultimate end, is your ultimate accomplishment. It is that which we should strive for. It is that to which God has called us unto. But a roadmap to that destiny is your life vision. Somebody shout hallelujah. So your life's vision must be understood. Number one. Number two, it must be pursued intentionally. You gotta pursue it. Number three, you gotta pray for it. And number four, you must believe God to realize it. Because not only does the realization of your life vision position you to be a blessing to others, it is central to your own blessing. It is central to your own blessing. I hope I'm not singing to the choir this morning. Because the challenge of the church, especially here also, is that many of us don't really know why we are saved and what God is expecting of us as those who are saved. We are saved, good and fine. But why? Why have God given me the kind of life he has given to me? Why am I in the place where I am? Why is the Lord inspiring my spirit and my heart the way he's inspiring my spirit and my heart? Why is it that what people see and they overlook it, when I see it, it triggers something in my spirit? Why is it that I think the way I think? That people can be in this church, they see everything the way they see it, but when I see it, it provokes my spirit to do something different about it. What is my life vision? God, why am I here? I must wake up each morning asking that question. Because the day I stop asking it is the day I become distracted. The day I stop asking the question of my life vision and pursuing my life vision is the day I will become distracted. And the Bible speaks to us about a man. His name is Moses. And I'm going to use him as a case study this morning. Born in circumstances that only God could have preserved his life. I want you to follow me this morning. By the time of his conception, Egypt had already passed a law that every male child born to a Hebrew person must be killed. You know, the problem many of you have is that you don't understand how far, how well, how intentional God has been preserving your life. You don't understand how he has shielded you to preserve you for the vision that he has for your life. Born when a decree was made that everything called a male child must die. But in the midst of satanic, demonic decree, God, by virtue of destiny, by virtue of the vision of God for the life of the man called Moses, raised someone. Beginning with the midwives. The Bible says when the mother of Moses came to birth, the midwives did something that they shouldn't do. They should have followed the law to kill. But every midwife assigned to deliver Moses, God inspired their heart to show him favor. He could have died at birth, but God preserved him. Some of you could have died at birth, but God preserved you. So when you begin to live your life as though it is your own, where did it even begin to be your own? At what point did you own it? When did it become yours? In that environment, God raised the daughter of Pharaoh himself. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when God wants to do something, he does it in the very nose of the enemy. He doesn't have to move you somewhere to preserve you. He preserves you in the midst of those who want to kill you. So that they can know that it is not by strength or by mind, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. The Lord preserved him by sending the daughter of Pharaoh. And she beheld this child and loved him. And God in his infinite ways makes sure that mother of Moses, the mother of Moses, was the one who raised him. Because he who raises you is important to the formation of your destiny. Whoever raises you impacts your destiny. The environment of your rearing is critical to the formation of your destiny. It is critical to the realization of your life, because where you are raised, and who raised you, infusing you the very passion that you have for anything that you do. God ensured that Moses was raised right. Some of us may not have had that, but when we came to Christ, God have ensured that we are being raised right. God preserved his life. And Moses began to grow. And as he grew, something in him tells him you're different. The Bible says he was skilled in all of the wisdom of Egypt. God exposed him to the highest level of education, to the highest level of power, and the nitty-gritties of the workings of Egypt, because the very Egypt that is training him shall be the very Egypt he will confront. Many a times, and I've said it in this church, that the things God does in your life, the things that God have allowed you to become acquainted with in life, he has done so because he wants to use you in that area. Your education is not that you went to school and obtained a degree. It is not that you've been exposed to the kind of life you've been exposed to. You may have struggled with addiction, struggled with whatever. Let me say this to you. The enemy fights you in your area of strength. The corruption of evil to destroy your life is always in your area of strength, so that you cannot see the power of God at work in your life in that area. And here we are. This man is being raised. And the Bible says when he turned 40, one day he went out. He saw two Israelites quarreling. An Egyptian. He stood and he tried to mediate. And in doing so, he killed the Egyptian. When he killed the Egyptian, he buried him. He buried him as though nothing has happened. Because he thought he could, you know, get away with that. But there are things that God allows to happen in your life to set you up. Because as long as Moses was concerned, as much as he knew there was something about his life, he became comfortable in the palace. Some of you are comfortable in things. Your life vision is where it is today because you have not been able to break out of your comfort zone. Everything seems to be okay for you. You're not challenged enough. And as he went back a second time, or whenever day that was, two Israelites were now quarreling, and he tried to mediate, and they asked him a question. Who made you a ruler over us? Do you want to kill us as you killed the Egyptian? So what I thought I buried, somebody knew it. What I thought nobody knew about, somebody knows it. You know, the problem with some of you is that you think you have a secret. You don't have any secret, because God knows what you think is secret to you. And God speaks to people about your life also. So when preaching is going on and God is addressing your issues, don't begin to wonder, why is he addressing it? He's addressing it because he wants to move you out to the place where you begin to pursue your life and pursue your vision and pursue your destiny and fulfill it to the glory of God. Many of you have buried things. You buried it and you thought it is over with. But God is revisiting it. Because as he revisits it, he reveals to you that what you are trying to hide from actually are things he has called you to deal with. So Moses runs out of Egypt. And as he ran, he came to Midian. And there the story began. For the next 40 years of his life, he became a shepherd. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? I called you to be a deliverer. But before I can allow you to fulfill that life vision I've given to you, I'm going to take you through the process of making. I'm going to take you through the process of change. I'm going to take you through the process of transformation. Foremost, I need to detach you from everything that is familiar to you. I need to get you out of the environment of familiarity, because what you want to do and what I've called you to do cannot be done in the way you are. I got to walk in you. Your life vision is so precious that God cannot begin to take you into it until he has done a work in your life to ready you for it. He got to do a work in your life. And the first work God does is the work of detachment. Somebody say detachment. Say it one more time. Shout it if you believe it. God got to detach you from everything and anything that will kill your vision. He got to detach you from friends. He will detach you from lifestyles. He will detach you from your own thought processes and your own ways of looking at life. He will detach you from your human strength. He will detach you from your ideology and philosophies of life. He will detach you sometimes from family. He will detach you. Because without that detachment, you will still be receiving from that source. And any source that supplies to you determines how you live your life. If you're tied to this source, and it is a source of negativity, it is what fuels your life. And because it fuels your life, it controls your life. So God detaches you in order to begin a walk in your life. He got him out of Egypt because naturally Moses was not planning to leave Egypt. He was the next Pharaoh of Egypt. He was in line to be enthroned as the Pharaoh of Egypt. But in the economy of God, you aren't the Pharaoh of Egypt. You are a deliverer. In the economy of God, the thing you think your life is all about is not what it is all about. And that is why when God invade your life and begin to change you, some of you become very uncomfortable. Some of you become so disoriented and angry with God sometimes. Because you feel you got it figured out. No, you don't have it figured out. Now, the good news here is that this man's life vision didn't begin until he was 80 years old. 80 years old. And so for some of you who think it is over and late for you, I have a good news for you right now. God is still in the business of beginning. Amen. I say God is still in the business of beginning. There is never a time when God cannot begin with a person if that person is willing and ready to come through the way of God. First, detachment. Detachment. And I have come this morning to sound a warning and to sound a clarion call to you, people of God. For your life's vision to be fulfilled, you got to detach yourself. You got to allow God to detach you. You cannot be joined to some of the things you're joined to have the strength that you need to pursue the vision that God has given to you. You can hold on to the mindset that you hold on to have the strength of God to pursue what God is calling you to do. You cannot continue to live life in your own ways to be able to fulfill what God is calling you to do. Detachment calls for willing submission, a desire for a different. Moses could have maneuvered the laws of Egypt. He could have, by virtue of his standing, looked at those Hebrews and said to them, what are you talking about? The law, I am above it. And he will argue his way out in the courts of Pharaoh and still remain in Egypt. But God had another plan. May the plan of God for your life begin to speak. Amen. I say, may the plans of God for your life begin to speak. Amen. Because some of you have not understood the greatness of your life. You've not understood the power that God has placed in your life. You've not understood the grace that is upon your life. You look at yourself and you say, little me. No, you're not little. You are great in the eyes of God. As he was detached, the second thing you got to understand before your life vision begin to expand and explode is called seclusion. It is called seclusion. God will seclude you. He will take you through the process of hiding. He's going to hide you. Oh my God, help me now. And in the case of Moses, he hid him in Midian. And he was not the ruler of Midian. He was not the priest of Midian. He became a shepherd. My God. Because before you can lead, the test of leadership is followership. You cannot lead until you have died to something called pride, to something called self, to something called I, me, my ways, to something called I got it, I know it, I can do it. How can a priest from the palace of the word power then become a shepherd boy whose duty was to follow things that were bleeding, blur, blur? And those of you who know a little bit about sheep, they are the most stubborn things you can deal with. Stubborn animal you can. Sheep, my dad used to have a lot of it. Sheep are stubborn. They want to have their way. They want to go where they want to go. That's why they get lost. Haven't you read in your Bible? He said, who among you here have 100 sheep? And what it is a goat, 100 sheep, one got lost. Sheep will always get lost. Why would they get lost? They are so in themselves. They want to go where they want to go. So, Moses, your vision is tied to leading people who are like sheep. And for you to succeed in that vision, I need to expose you to an environment where you're going to learn what it means to lead those who behave this way. So stop complaining about the experimentations God is doing in your life now that he has secluded you. There is something he's doing in you. There is something he's building in you. There is something he's revealing to you. You know, Moses was a man who was quick-tempered until his seclusion. It was in the place of his seclusion that he became trained to become one of the meekest men on earth. He was a man quick to jump to conclusion. We saw that. He didn't know what the dispute was about, but he already killed somebody. He didn't know why they were fighting. He didn't take time to understand who was at wrong. He killed the guy before he could ask. But God secluded him and began to take him through the training of his life vision. Your life vision is so important to God. It is so critical to your generation. It is so important to the kingdom of God that God cannot afford to make mistakes with you. God cannot afford to toil with you. God cannot afford not to invest in you for 40 years. 40 good years. 40 years he was following sheep. Hallelujah. 40 years. 40 good years. A deliverer became a shepherd. A deliverer took orders from his father-in-law. A deliverer learned how to follow people by virtue of following sheep and leading them through the rock, through the valley, through the desert. He learned how to stay awake at night, watching over the sheep. He learned how to fight off the bears and the lions. He understood what it means to be sensitive to the assignment at hand. You know the problem with many of us Christians? We don't want to learn. Learning is something that some of us fight. But how can you fulfill your life vision if you've not learned and developed the character that is needed for you to fulfill it? Part of your life vision, for those of you who are married, is to raise a godly family. It takes learning to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good person. You don't just jump into things. The idea of quick rushing into things is what destroys lives and destroys destinies. You gotta learn to learn and be okay with learning and be okay in the environment of seclusion. And be okay in the environment where your voice is not heard. And be okay in the environment where you take instruction. And be okay in the environment where nobody recognizes you. And be okay in the environment where you may think, I am wasting my time. But God said, you are not ready yet. Be okay with it. And stop counting days and years. Because time and seasons are in the hands of God. It is not of you to choose and determine the times and the seasons of your life. It is of God to choose and determine it. Because once you begin to go ahead of God, man, you are on your own. Once you begin to step out into the environments that God have not opened doors for you, you are on your own. Grace cannot accompany you where heaven have not led you. Grace can only accompany you where God has led you, where God is leading you to. Number two, seclusion. Number three, God will take you through training and experience. Training and experience. Understanding your life vision. I'm laying foundation today. Training and experience. God needs to train you. God needs to allow you to gain experience in order for you to fulfill divine destiny. Hallelujah. Moses had been trained in the wisdom of Egypt. Hallelujah. But Moses hasn't been trained in the ways of God. I want to say that again. Moses has been trained in the wisdom of Egypt. But Moses hasn't been trained in the ways of God. His life vision is kingdom oriented. Therefore, the training he has in the wisdom of Egypt is important, but it is not the basis. The basis of the fulfillment of his life vision has to do with the training of God. He needs to know how the kingdom works, how God operates. So in the process of training, the Lord comes to Moses and appears to him in a burning bush. What a wonderful, spectacular encounter. And the Bible says that when Moses saw the bush burning and that the tree itself was not burnt, the Bible says he turned. He did what? Meaning that the first thing God want to do is to capture your mind. Capture your perspective. Capture your attention. Capture your vision. You see, until God captures your mind, your obedience can never be pleasurable. Many of you are struggling with obeying God because your mind is still your own. You're still holding on to you and the ways you want it done. But the Lord saw that his attention is drawn to God and to what God was doing in that moment. As soon as God saw that, the Bible said the Lord spoke out of the burning bush and said, "Don't come further. For the land where you stand is holy. Remove your shoe." Remove, symbolic of humble yourself. Humble yourself. Shoe was symbolic of dominion. Allah said, "No, Moses, you're going to come. You're going to fulfill your life vision through the pathway of humility. You're not going to do what I'm sending you to do with a prideful spirit. You're going to do it by complete surrender and complete humility to me and to my ways. It's not going to happen, Moses, because you are skilled in the warfare of Egypt. You are skilled in the knowledge of Egypt. You are skilled in whatever you are skilled in, Moses, get your shoe off your leg." And God is speaking to some Moses in this house. Get your shoe off your leg. For what I'm sending you to do is bigger than you. You can't do it by yourself. What I'm calling you to do is greater than you. Nobody has ever done it before. There is no point of reference, but you're going to do it. But for you to do it, Moses, take off your shoe. Take off your shoe, Moses. I can't walk with you the way you are. I need to get you to where you understand that the thing that will ruin you and ruin this vision of your life is you. It's not the devil. It is the character you're possessing. Who you are. I want to change that, Moses. And the Bible says he removed his shoes. As soon as he removed his shoes, God began to speak to him. The Lord said to him, "I have seen the affliction and the suffering of my people. I have seen what is going on in their life in Egypt. And I have come down to deliver them." God says, "I have seen what's going on. I have come down to deliver them." The question becomes how? If you're going to deliver them, why are you speaking to me then? If you've come down to deliver them, why am I here? So when God says, "I've come down to deliver them," he's saying, "Moses, I'm going to do this through you. I'm going to put myself in you. I'm going to invest my resources into you. Moses, you're going to be a channel. You're going to be a vessel. You're going to carry me. And with you and I, this thing is going to be done." Child of God, God has always been a God of partnership. He has always been a God who walked with his people in partnership. God has never been an impositor. He partners with those who are willing for him to partner with them. And he said to Moses, "This task has to be done. This is your life vision, Moses. You are a deliverer. Moses, you are not a prince of Egypt. Moses, you are not a shepherd of Midian. Moses, you are a deliverer. Moses, you are a deliverer. Moses, your family needs you. You ran away, you have had an encounter, but now, Moses, you got to go back. Moses, the thing that you fear most, I'm sending you to confront it. Moses, the place that you don't want to step foot into, I'm empowering you to go deal with the powers that are there. Moses, the people you think are after your life, I'm sending you to give them hope. Moses, you gotta deliver my people. You gotta become part of the thing that you ran away from in order to bring a change in that environment. Many of you think that God is going to send somebody else to bring the revival you're praying for. You're thinking that God is going to use someone else to deliver your family. You're thinking that God is going to use someone else to do something else, to do something else. But I've come to announce to you today, God is calling you. What you think it is not what it is. Are you willing? Are you ready? Moses, remove yourself from the equation, Moses. Moses, get yourself out of the equation. Because the question of Moses is, I am not adequate for this vision. I don't have what it takes. I'm a stammerer. I don't speak fluently. I don't speak correctly. I have limitations. And the answer of God is, I will be with you. I don't know who you are in this house today, but God has sent me to you this morning to say to you, stop giving excuses. I want to say it again. God has sent me to you this morning to tell you to do what? Quit giving excuses. Because many of you have excuses. Excuses why you're not doing what God is calling you to do. Excuses why you're not committed to the things of God. Excuses why you are not passionate about God's vision in your life. Excuses, excuses, and excuses. God says to you, I am with you. I will be with you. Moses, what I need is a vessel. If you can provide it, I will fill it. If you can provide it, I will use it. If you can provide it, it will be my part to make it good. So, your life vision comes from God. And it is God who prepares you for the fulfillment of it. But for God to prepare you, you gotta come to the place where you're willing to be a vessel in the hands of God. Where you're willing to allow God infuse himself into you. Where you're willing to allow God empower your spirit, your mind, and remove from you everything that you consider to be negative and opposing to your strength and to your ability to fulfill the vision of God in your life. Moses. There are many Moses here today. There are many Moses here today. Your generation is waiting for you. Your generation is waiting for you. Quit following ships. That time is over. Answer the call. Stop waiting for somebody. Be that somebody. Stop praying for somebody. Say, here am I. Use me. Send me. The idea of living life without understanding that each day opportunity to be the difference and the change that you pray for is a very disturbing one. Each day you have opportunity to be that change you're praying for. You have the opportunity to make the difference that you believe in God should be made in your environment of interaction. Moses, I want to deliver my people. So what God was saying to Moses in effect is this. Pastor Prosper, if you, Moses, remain where you are, everything tied to your loins remains where you are. The day you recognize that I gotta step out, not just for me. When I step out into my life's vision, everything tied to me begins to come out. The data vision of life in that dimension become vivid in your spirit. Selfishness will die. Self-centeredness will die. Lack of fervent commitment to God and to the purposes of God in your life will die. Moses, there is over 2 million people waiting on you. They are tied to you, Moses. Moses, I preserved your life for this season. Moses, you didn't die in addiction because there must be a people that will hear your voice. Moses, I came and I preserved you because at this point in your life, Moses, you must step out. I know you are afraid. I know you stammer. I know you feel inadequate, but Moses, I'm going to do it through you. All I'm asking you, Moses, is to remove your shoe. Let me begin the walk, Moses. As I begin the walk, Moses, it's going to get easy. For I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. The power you fear, you have dominion over it. The things you fear, you have control over it, Moses. But Moses said, no, I don't think I'm good enough for this thing. Okay, if you say you're going to be with me, so what about the people? What about the assignment, Esau? When I get there and tell them God have sent me, which of the gods will I tell them that sent me? Because at this point in their mind, there is over 500 gods that they worship in Egypt. So which one is it? If you say you're going to do and walk in me, okay, I'm going to accept that. But what about the stubbornness of these people? What about their mindset? What about, would they receive me? But my brother, Aaron, speaks more eloquently than I am. Send Aaron. You know, many of us are there. God, I want to do it, but Lord, not just me, but send somebody else. Lord, I want to do it, but Lord, the people you're sending me to, they don't respect me. They don't honor me. They don't see you in me. Moses, those are not your problem. Moses, if you stay here arguing with me, one more life would die. Moses, as you stay here with me arguing, how can this be done? Somebody is going through an oppression. Moses, time is fleeing. Time. Rebuild us, time is fleeing. The idea of sitting in this church waiting for God to just send somebody. Oh, Rebuilders needs to grow. Oh, the church needs to change. What are you doing? Moses. Moses, 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 Moses. God has called you to be a voice of deliverance. They are waiting for you. But God, when I go and they ask me who sent me, by whose authority are you speaking, what am I going to tell them? He said, okay, if that is your problem, Moses, tell them. That I am, have sent you. Anything they want me to be, I am already. Anything you want me to be, I am already. Moses, your life vision has to be fulfilled because every resource you need, I am. Quit waiting here arguing with me. Take a step forward to your life vision. Stop waiting until they accept you. Get there. When you get there, I will prove myself strong. Don't sit here and ask me every question. Move on. When you get to Egypt, Egypt will obey you. Don't just be praying for Egypt from 1,000 kilometers away. The authority in you needs to appear in Egypt. When you step your foot in Egypt, the land is going to open, Moses. God is calling rebuilders. Step out into our communities. Step out to Wilmington. Step out to Bear. Stop this praying, God send revival. The heavens are open. The heavens are open, for goodness sake. The church is in a position to reap a harvest in this season. Oh, but many of us are sitting down and sitting at ease in Jerusalem, sitting at ease in Zion. So when God told him, I am that I am, have sent you. Moses said, okay. And God said, let me show you a sign. You're holding a staff in your hand. You use it to follow your ships and to drag those who are running away out. Drop it on the ground. When he dropped it, it turned into a snake, the symbol of Satan, the symbol of demonic power, the symbol of the power of Egypt. And he said, Moses, pick it up. You mean I should pick it up? I say, pick it up, Moses. Because your fear is tied to the powers of Egypt, because you knew what Egypt is like. You've lived there. You understand what it means to live in Egypt. Pick it up, Moses. Do I have the power to pick it? Yes, Moses, pick it up. Because when I give you a word, my power is with that word. Pick it up, Moses. And as soon as he grabbed it, it turned back into a staff. He said, Moses, stretch your hand. Oh, my God. Lord Jesus. The same staff is what parted the Red Sea. The same stuff. I come to you today to tell you that your life vision is great. I come to you to tell you that God is committed to your life vision. I come to you to tell you that whatever you fear about your life, God has given you power over it. I come to you to tell you today that your experiences are not in vain. I come to you to tell you today that God is calling you. It is time to step out. Don't stay in the shadows. Don't be okay with ships. Thank God for that season. It is the season to take the step of authority to the vision of God in your life. Moses, understand that your delay is the destruction of those you've been called to deliver. Moses, understand that your excuse increases the affliction of those you've been called to deliver. Moses, understand that every time you look at yourself and still stay where you are causing havoc. And those who are praying, God, oh, my Lord, help me now. You know what just dropped in my spirit? When you answer the call of your life vision, you become the answer to the prayer of someone. And as long as you don't answer it, they keep praying and keep thinking that God does not answer prayer. But the answer to the prayer is you. But you are there. You are there. The Lord is saying, stop making them to continue to wait as though I haven't answered them. I have answered them. You are the answer. Arise. You are the answer. In that family issue, you are the answer. In the issue in your community, you are the answer. God have already answered through you. But will you step out? Everything that I have spoken is not my note. It is time, people. There is a live vision. Lord, open my eyes to my live vision. Open my eyes to the people you have sent me to. Open my eyes to the truth of who I am and why I live.
Open my eyes and grant me strength this morning to step out in full obedience to you. It is the year of vision and kingdom, vision and fulfillment. I cannot continue to live a life where kingdom purposes are not being fulfilled in my life. I am created to make a difference. I am born to make a difference. Lord, this morning, I am holding nothing back. I'm giving it up. I'm giving myself up. Do it again, Spirit of the living God. I cannot die in the wilderness. I can't continue to be in the wilderness. There is a people, there is an assignment, there is a vision that I gotta fulfill, Lord. I can't continue to wander around in this wilderness and be okay, you know, and feel life is good in the wilderness. No, Lord, you're calling me, and I'm hearing your voice. I hear your voice. My family need me. My people need me. This community needs me. Lord, I hear your voice. My neighborhood needs me. Those I'm living with in the same house, they need me. I can't keep quiet. I can't keep shut in my mouth. I can't just be there looking at things as though they do not exist. But Lord, you're calling me. You're calling me to a generation that needs you. You're calling me, Lord. You're calling me. My life vision is critical to kingdom fulfillment. Lord, I wanna be that man, that woman you look upon and you say, yes, you're doing what I've called you to do. You are who I have made you to be, Lord. I yield to you this morning. My inadequacies, oh God, take over them. My excuses, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, my fears, I bring it to you, God. The things that for which I look at and say, Lord, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. Lord, I bring it to you, Lord. I bring the fear of how the people are going to treat me, how they will receive me. Lord, I bring it to you, Lord. I just want to say, God, this morning, let nothing stop me. I'm open to you, oh God. Invade my life. Invade my spirit. Invade my mind. Break my fear. Break my hesitation. Break my excuses. Break my logic. Break my stubbornness. Break my unwillingness. Oh God, move me out of my comfort zone. Lord, move me out of my comfort zone. Move me out of my comfort zone. Holy Spirit, move me out of my comfort zone. Move this church out of our comfort zone. Move this ministry out of our comfort zone. Move us out of our comfort zone. Move us out of our comfort zone. Souls are perishing. Lives are going to hell. Why are we Christians if we cannot save people? If we cannot speak of Jesus Christ, why do we live this life on earth if it is all about food and shelter? Lord, there is more to my life than a new car, than paying bills. There is more to my life than just sitting down in church and feeling good every Sunday. There is more to my life than just feeling I got it all figured out. There is more to my life, oh God. Move me out of my comfort zone. Move me out of my comfort zone. Amanuki Beret, Sakaram Beledosh, Hikatabarade de Borokotos, Sarabanani Nelele Borokoto Casafadisia. Everyone in this church, if you can rise, rise. Rise if you can. This is not a moment to sit down on God. This is not a moment to just hear this word today and go back to your usual. God is calling you, Moses. God is calling you, Moses. God is calling you, Moses. Sarine Vereta. Moregede fetis kafarish kafanina nene. Bratanfis kadurush katafarani bababa. Oh, there is a live vision. There is a live vision. There is a vision for my life. I want to see it fulfilled, Lord. I want to see it fulfilled. Lord, take away from me this morning every argument that I have, every justification that I base my resistance on, every justification that I base my stubbornness and my resistance on. Lord, remove it from me. Remove it from me. Remove it from me. Remove it from me, Jesus. Remove it from me. This morning, Lord, I cannot continue to allow people to keep on praying while I am the answer to their prayer. I am the answer to their prayer. I can't sit still here. I gotta do something. I gotta step out to where they are. I gotta be available that through me, God, you will answer that prayer. Lord, I can't just sit down and while they cry, while they are in pain, and you have given me the key for their freedom. You have given me the key for their liberty. You have given me the key for their deliverance. But here I am caught up in my own self, caught up in my own thing, caught up in my own mess, caught up in my own mess. Every time I caught up in my own mess, I am delaying the deliverance of somebody else. Deliver me from my mess. 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 That I may go forth today to deliver those you've called me to deliver. Somebody open your mouth and begin to pray. God is waiting on you this morning. God is waiting on you this morning. God is waiting on you this morning. This is not about the devil. This is about you and God. This is about you and God. Lord, I don't want them to stay any longer in their pain. I don't want them to stay any longer in their misery. I don't want them to stay any longer in their bondage. I don't want them to stay any longer in their captivity. You have called me as a solution. You have called me to be the solution. You have called me to be the deliverer. You have called me to be the healer. You have called me, Lord. You have given me the voice. You have given me the grace. What am I waiting for? Take over. Take over. Take over, Lord. Take over, Lord. I can't continue in my mess. Their destiny is greater than my mess. Their destiny is greater than my stubbornness. Their destiny is greater than my excuse. Their destiny is greater than my complaint. Their destiny is far more important than my feeling. Oh my God. Hikarabosha. Child of God, open your mouth and pray. 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 Power is being released into your life right now. Power, 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 power. Power is being released into your spirit right now. Power is being released into your life right now. I see a breakthrough coming forth for you right now. I see a breakthrough coming forth for you right now. I see a breakthrough coming forth for you right now. God is breaking through your life. God is breaking through those circumstances. God is breaking through those situations. God is breaking through your fear. God is breaking through. God is breaking Sakadosh. How long will you stay in Midian? How long are you going to stay in Midian? How long are you going to stay in Midian? You thought you ran away from your calling. You thought you ran away from your purpose. You thought you ran away from the vision of God for your life. The Lord is saying to you now, I'm sending you. 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 Step out, step out. I'm sending you. Step out, 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 I'm sending you. My grace is with you. I am that I am. I am with you. I am with you. Rebuke us. God is saying, I am with you. I am with you. Stop fearing. Stop thinking. Who are we, small church? What can we do, small church? God is saying to you, I am more than enough. Lift up your hands if you can this morning. Power is coming your way. 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 Grace is coming your way. Power is coming your way. Like a ball of fire is coming your way right now. Like a ball of fire is coming into your soul. Like a ball of fire is coming into your stomach. Lekatu sapata. Lekaputa zebedete. Move, Holy Ghost. Power to conquer. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Moses. Moses. Arise, Moses. Arise, Moses. Arise, Moses. Arise, Moses. We bless you, Lord. 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 We're not going to wait while they stay in captivity. We're not going to wait while they continue in the oppression and the pain of their life. We're not going to wait while we are the answer. We're not going to wait. We're not going to wait. We're not going to wait. Why they keep on praying and God have answered and we are the answer. We're not going to wait. We're not going to wait. We're not going to wait. We're not going to wait, Lord. We're not going to wait any longer, Lord. We're not going to wait any longer. We're not going to wait any longer. Thank you. Thank you. Ah! Inenamvikaza. Orerie de melemu kutukabaviza. Nahinkaskachika muru baba. My brother from Cameroon, please lift up your hand. God sent you to this house this morning for such a grace. God has given you a voice for your community. God has raised you a voice of direction. A voice. You're like Elijah, calling your people back to the very right way. God has sent you as Elijah. Let the anointing and the grace of a reforming prophet. Let it come upon you this morning. 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 That in the name of Jesus, your voice shall resound in the corridors of power. Your voice shall resound in your community. Ilibagado saka. Lahine lele de vere de katabah. Oh, the Lord said, don't worry about partners. Don't worry about sponsors. Don't worry about people financing you. I am your sponsor. He said, don't worry about those who come to this country. They lie and they falsify figures so that men can give them money. He said, I shall surprise you. He said, hear me, my son. The time has come. The time has come when I must use you to correct the things that are wrong in my house. Spirit of the living God, breathe upon your son. Breathe upon him a fresh fire, a fresh fire, a fresh fire, a fresh fire, a fresh fire. Many a times he has felt as though he's standing alone, but Lord, today, may he know that he's not alone. In the name of Jesus, envelop him with a fresh glory. Aha. Envelop him with a fresh glory. For in this season, oh God, you're doing for him what no man can do. We give you the glory, Lord. We give you the honor. Just wave your hands to Jesus, everybody in this house, as we bring this service to a close. Wave your hands to Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus. Oh, my God. Open my eyes to see Jesus seated upon the throne. Holy Ghost, do it again. Do it again in my life. Open my eyes to see Jesus seated upon the throne. One more time. Holy Ghost, do it again. Lord, do it again in my life. Open my eyes to see Jesus seated upon the throne. I pray for you today that you are not going to have any rest. Amen. Until you obey God completely.
Amen.
I pray for you today that you will not allow those tied to your life to die while you're waiting and having excuses. I pray that you will arise.
Amen.
I pray that you will arise.
Amen.
I pray that nothing will stop you. Your life vision, you must fulfill.
Amen.
Your life vision, you must fulfill.
Amen.
Your life vision, you must fulfill.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Somebody celebrate victory this morning. We're going to quickly close this service because our time is far spent. Today is testimony.